I'll do the intro and then we'll be ready to roll.
All right.
Well, hello there, fellow makers. Welcome to Prop Live Q&A, your bi-weekly prop and costume making Q&A session. I'm Bill, and with us today, we've got Justin from Just Cosplay. Hello, Justin. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely enthralled to have you here and to show off some of the really cool projects you've been working on, like that one you've got on a super cool mannequin behind you. Something from Overwatch?
Yep, Pharah from Overwatch, a gender-bend version.
That is so cool. If you guys want to see some really amazing photos, and you do want to go see some amazing photos, you can look up Just Cosplay on Instagram. I'll bring up some pictures for you right here, like this super cool one. That's really awesome. I've got a picture up. I don't know where this is from. I'm trying to do I know that convention based on the background? but
you want to take a guess at it?
I can't. I see palm trees.
I'll give you a hint. It's in California.
It's in California. Was that
LA.
At? Was that at? I'm looking at the comments. I'm cheating. was that BlizzCon? I didn't Rio BlizzCon.
Nope. It was. I was at BlizzCon last year. Okay. I was in Torellian from World of Warcraft, but that was Anime Expo.
Oh, Anime Expo! I've never been to Anime Expo.
It was my first time last year, and it was a lot of fun. Definitely crowded, but a lot of fun. I mean, I'm going back again this year, and this year I'm actually bringing a new Pharah. I'm doing ASP Pharah.
Excellent.
With me this time.
Is that a new build completely from scratch?
Yep. I have it's literally I got some parts here with me. Let me see if I can get it in frame here. Let me go over here. Okay, so this is the torso piece. Like a completely different build from scratch. I thought,
oh,
I can reuse some parts, but you know, Blizzard likes to change
everything
up, so I couldn't reuse anything. So, you know, I got some pieces here that I've been working on. It's about, I want to say, about 90% constructed.
Oh, my.
So,
that's
we're getting there.
Very exciting. You've got some cool photos up on Instagram, too, here that I'm showing off. That's awesome. I love the different colored foam before it gets painted.
Yep.
Now, that is... like a foam Pepakura type thing, right?
Yep. It's Pepakura that I make from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Using their in-game 3D models that I get. So I get their models. I break it down in Blender, the animation program.
Mm-hmm.
Separate the different pieces, make it easier on me, and then import it to Pepakura Designer and go from there. And now I know on your Probius build, you guys did the same thing, right?
Very similar, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I had to figure out how to make it. I mean, obviously this is something you have a lot of practice with, but altering the Pepakura file for foam so that some surfaces, like, you don't want that faceted look. You want it to be nice and smooth and curved whenever it's
right.
Supposed to be, yeah.
Right.
I will fully admit that Brittany did all of that work, and she did a great job at it. I helped lights and paint on that one. I see here on your store you've got links. You've got some of your Pepakura designs for sale.
Yep.
If anyone is looking to get into this particular Pharah build, like that's the helmet. That's so cool. Then you could grab one of those and be off and running and along. You've done all the hard work. People just have to follow along if they go grab those.
Right. It's one of those things where it's, you know, even if the hard work is done in terms of patterning, the putting it together, you know, figuring out what angles to cut in the foam and, you know, and piecing it together is difficult. So,
Yeah, you still have a lot of work to do, but
this will
get you up and running pretty quickly.
Right.
That's great. Very cool. Well, and everyone at home who wants to get in on this too can just look at the final results and have a pretty good idea of how far they could take it.
Right.
And you've got the pattern that I'm showing right here is the one that you have behind you.
Yeah, that one? That's okay. That's this one there. Yep.
You have to forgive me. I'm not familiar with all of Farrah's skins.
No, it's all good. I mean, that's the base model. This is her original model there. And the Peppercur design that I got there, the patterns, they're for male and then also female versions. The male version, the only thing I really had to do was widen out the waist,
mm-hmm.
and the chest, because I looked at that when I scaled it up. Farrah's like model, in-game model, you know, scale to my height, the waist is about 7 inches across.
Yeah, it's a bit thin.
A little bit. So
that's really cool. Now, I wanted to ask you about your mannequin, because we are actually a quick behind the scenes for folks. Brittany and I just finished building a prop wall in our new office, and we will have a tutorial video on that very soon. But also, we have costumes that we want to display here, and we're thinking we'll put them on mannequins. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the mannequin choice you have behind you?
So this mannequin, it's a little bit on the pricey side. It's the brand is Mondo. I got it at, there is a local mannequin shop down in Miami. I'm based a little bit north of Miami, but down in Miami there's a mannequin shop, and that's where I went there. I picked it up from there. It's a nice mannequin. It's about 6 foot, I want to say about 6'2", 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
That's the mannequin I went with. It's got, you know, posable arms, in a sense where it can articulate forward and back. The legs are kind of pretty much stationary. I mean, you could twist them a little bit, but, for the most part, you know, the reason why I went with this particular one is because I can actually remove limbs, and for large armor cosplays and costumes, it's very difficult to try and, maneuver it on without having to take a limb off or something like
right.
that. I know for my other costume, Terellian, that I did for BlizzCon, that I actually had to get it on the mannequin, I actually had to cut the groin piece in half to get it on.
Oh.
It's very, very difficult to try and fit them on there, but, you know, that's why I went with the removable limbs and stuff.
That's good. I have the Mondo Mannequins website up here, and...
Right.
I love that you can get a mannequin with, like, his hands on his hips.
Yep.
Or a sitting one. I'm trying to find a reason.
Finger pose.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Close to it. He's close to it.
Trying to come up with a reason why my mannequin should be sitting. I think that'd be awesome. Like, leave it in the in the bathroom in the office here. Like, he's kind of busy in here.
Just scare whoever walks in. That's like when I have this guy up, when I have the mannequin up, anybody who walks in this room, they jump. I even jump all the time.
Yeah.
I'll walk in and be like, okay. You know, you got like a 6 foot, 6'2", 6'3" person standing in there all the time. So especially when you shut the lights off, you cross the room, you just see him glaring at you in the dark. So
that's great. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, we'll have links to all this stuff and in the show notes, including this Mondo mannequin. And I'm also, of course, linking it for myself for when I need mannequins. So I'll go check that out. Hey, gang watching live, awesome to have you here. If you have any questions for us for the next hour or so, then go to punishprops.com/live to submit your questions about prop and cost making, especially if you have anything about Peppercore and foam, because Justin over here knows all about that. Before we dive into those
a little bit.
Before we dive into the questions, I want to get everyone up to speed on a couple things around here. We are still moving into the new shop. We are completely out of the old shop. I just did the first full project in the new shop here. I made Han Solo's dice, Lucky Dice. So if you have missed that video, it's up on the main YouTube video channel. Easy for you to say. And we've got more. Brittany's finishing the Jazza costume as we speak, and that video will be out very, very soon. Everyone's really excited to see that. And then we've got a bunch more projects ready to go as we keep building out the new shop. So look forward to all of that. And also, send us more questions. We got a bunch already, and we're going to dive in and start answering them. You ready, Justin?
I'm ready, whatever you are.
All right. I'm ready. The prop tarts are ready. And the first question, Brittany snuck her own in. She's curious about BlizzCon this year, whether or not you'll be there, and whether or not you'll be entering their costume contest with their new format. They've changed it up a bit this year.
Right, so I've heard about their new format. I like it. I just do think it's for those people who like to procrastinate and con crunch to the very last minute, like I do. It makes things a little difficult when you have to submit progress photos and have it completely, ready to go for the competition. I mean, it's going to be, I know for me at least, because I like to procrastinate, it's going to be a little tough. But yes, I am planning on trying to enter, and I will be entering my ASP Faro once it's completed. I'm going to be doing the same thing I did with this, with the moving flaps, the moving wings. I'm also adding in there now her thigh pleats. I'm having those move as well. And I also snuck in there, that I didn't realize in this build, that her calf pieces, they actually have a little mechanic that opens up in the back, and there's a rocket. So I'm also going to be putting servos there. So,
Oh, upgrades. I've
yep. So I'm going to.
I've got a video up here from your Instagram. It looks like from New York Comic Con. Whoop.
You gotta do it this way.
I don't know how to turn the audio down.
One more time. One more time. Hold on.
But it's showing your wings moving.
Right.
Go.
Go, countdown. Countdown. 3, 2, 1.
Ah, it's so cool. That is so cool. So you're gonna have even more of that on the new costume.
Even more.
That's
So more
exciting.
moving, more moving parts. So a lot of batteries, and hopefully I don't catch and fire,
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of putting some fuses in there just in the off chance that, it overheats or something happens.
That's interesting. I've never made anything that has enough power where I would consider needing fuses.
Well, I mean, both. I know for each servo that I have for the wings, for this one at least, there is a well, for two servos, I sorry, the for the wings, there is a 12 volt battery pack, and I have a step down converter because I wasn't running them. In a parallel series, no. Parallel. I wasn't running them parallel, so instead of getting, splitting that 6 and 6, I just got a step down converter. So I got a lot of power trying to go, and so when these wings, when I have them down in the down position, I actually have a spring that kind of helps it go up. So when it's down, the spring's trying to pull the servo up, and the servo's trying to keep down, and so you can actually hear the step down converter whine, like whining. It's just pulling so much power. So it got really hot. So I know now for this next build, I'm actually using two servo motors per wing because the wings are actually much larger on this build than that build.
Oh,
So
goody. Goody.
yeah, twice the power.
Cool. Well, I'm
So
excited to see it. I'm excited to see how the new format for the BlizzCon costume contest works out. My hope is that I think what'll end up happening is people who are really serious about the cosplay contest will get their costumes done early and they will get entered into the competition part of it. And then people who really just want to be on stage for a moment will get the chance to do that too. And hopefully what that means is people participating in the costume contest don't lose their entire Friday to prejudging and all that.
Right.
Hopefully, we'll see. Because I know a lot of people will go to prejudging and they'll spend, 6 hours in their costume, and then when they're done, they don't want to wear their costume anymore.
Yep. That's what I was told last year. Because BlizzCon last year was my first BlizzCon. Actually, fun fact: last year, Anime Expo was my first out-of-state convention, and I just been going out of state since. But I've only been traveling to out-of-state cons, I guess, in the last almost year at this point. So yeah, I mean, we'll see how that goes. But I know last year my Torelli and we had a spot in the costume competition, and I didn't get it done until actually Friday, like late Friday of BlizzCon. I missed a whole day trying to get it done, and I'm like, we gotta scrap the competition because there's no way we'll get this thing done. I mean, by time I figured that I was doing a duo cosplay with Danielle Ballou on Instagram. She was doing Illyria, I was doing Torelli, and 2 weeks or 3 weeks before BlizzCon, she goes, "Hey, would you like to do Torellian for BlizzCon?" I'm like, "Oh boy, 2 weeks!" So I cranked that out in 2 weeks, and then final stretch. Yeah, there. That's the picture there. Final stretch. Danielle helped me a lot on getting it done, especially the painting aspect, textured and that. You know, while I'm making stuff, she's painting, and it was, man, that was stressful.
Yeah.
Didn't sleep. A lot of sleepless nights, a lot of coffee. But got it. We got it done.
All right. Oh, she's in the chat. She says, "Hey, I gave him like 2 months, please."
Oh, please. 2 months. You gave me 2 weeks.
Thank you for the question, Brittany. Let's grab one from, this is from Buckaroo. Justin, what kind of strapping system do you employ for large shoulders? Could a similar method be used for Samus shoulders?
You know, it can if you, because the way I have these shoulders set up is I have a like nylon strapping. I have two long pieces on either end of the shoulders, in the middle of them, and then what I do is there's buckles that go underneath her collar pieces, so I run the nylon under the buckles so that it keeps it down, and I just kind of just tie a knot, tie them together in the back just to keep them up. And then on the front end and the back end on either side, I have nylon again with D-rings. So I strap on the front and the back to keep it from rocking forward and back. So let me see if I have enough length here to try and back up here.
Yep.
So if I lift this, I have a riser underneath here. I don't know if anybody can. Can you see that? Am I blocking that?
I got it. I got it up here.
Got it. Okay. So, because I'm watching the stream. There we go. Okay. Yeah. So I got a riser here. I got a D-ring on this side, and then a D-ring in the back. So these two strappings here keep the shoulders from rocking too much forward and too far back. And then the main strap is in the center. And that's what I was saying, that I take that and just run it along the back side and tie it in the back here. And that keeps them both suspended where they need to be. So it'll keep it suspended where it needs to be, and then the strappings in the front and the back keep it from rocking too much forward or too much back. So that's kind of how I went with that harness for that.
There you go. Hopefully we've covered everything. Thank you for the question, Buckaroo. And yeah, I think that a similar method could be employed for Samus shoulders, or most big shoulders.
Most big shoulders, right. Yeah.
Let's grab another one. This is from Edward. He wants to do a Flash cosplay. Like, I don't know. I don't think he means Flash Gordon. I think he means running really fast man. Right. He likes a sleek aesthetic, but it seems my only options are a bodysuit with a pattern printed on it or a set of armor similar to the one in the new Justice League. Is there a middle ground for tight-fitting costumes that allow for better quality and depth than just a bodysuit, but not as clunky as a full set of armor?
That's a good question.
I'm trying to think about what the CW Flash costume looks like. His is kind of like, I mean, it looks like a leather suit. You can probably do it with it doesn't have to be actual leather, with like faux leather. But his is kind of, I wouldn't say it's loose fitting, but it's not that skin tight normal Flash costume.
Right. It looks a little bulkier than, you know, your typical Flash costume. But
I thought that the Justice League, the new Justice League Flash, I thought it was interesting. Like, why would he wear armor? Wouldn't he just be so fast that you can't shoot him? Like, it seems to me like he shouldn't have had armor.
Yeah, he just needs a bodysuit and he's good to go. No one's gonna hit him.
I will say, if you're gonna get a bodysuit printed, though, that's a lot more common now, and you could like either buy a pre-made one or Photoshop your own and have it dye sublimated printed. That's getting a lot more common.
Right.
Let's see if my computer can handle this. There's have you ever heard of Snake Pit Studios?
Sn- Snake Pit Studios. I don't think I'm familiar.
All right. Well, my computer doesn't want to find it. Anyway, they do printed bodysuits for superheroes. I will look them up on Google instead of on Facebook. Oh, they have a website. Perfect. I don't know if they have a... they have a Flash. Look at that. They're working on a Flash one right now. How handy is that? So you could just go to these guys and they should be able to help you out. They also have Deadpool. I guess it's still loading. Anyway, right. We'll have a link to those guys. You can go check it out. But I actually really like the CW Flash outfit. I think that's a pretty good happy medium.
Yeah, it looks it's not too not too tight fitting and not too loose fitting, and it gives I like the look of it. It's very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what too. That jacket, you could probably just wear it out and about. Maybe make the chest emblem removable, and it's like a really cool looking jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That came to us from Edward. Thank you, Edward. Someone in the chat is pointing out that. Oh wait, what? Under Armour makes superhero shirts. That's cool. Under Armour superhero. We're just gonna go on a tangent here and go look at Alter Ego superhero gear from Under Armour. What? Let me see. They've got Captain America. Holy crap! There, they have Darth Vader underwear. If you're into that. I don't know if they have a Flash one, but they've got some cool shirts here. And now those are.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. They have a Darth Vader compression shirt. Oh my goodness.
That's pretty cool. They branched out to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't see the Flash, but that's a cool place to start too. All right, awesome. Let's move on to the next question. Sarah has a question about foam boots. I'm making some giant boots out of foam. Would you seal the bottom of it? She's curious about using latex. I need the tread to be 3D, so I can't add a flat rubber to the bottom. So I'm interested in how you handle the bottoms of your Farah boots.
Well, actually, my Farah, shoes, I'm actually made like a shoe cover, so I'm using, actually, let me grab it real quick. It's in this bin right here. One second.
Go for it. I will say that every shoe armor I've ever made, I've just worn a real shoe and had some sort of cover that went over it, and the treads on my shoe were just the treads of the normal shoe. I'm not fanatical enough that I want to make the bottom of it look... I figure no one's going to look at the bottom of my foot.
Right. This is what I have for my my Farah shoe.
Yep.
It's just a shoe cover, pretty much. I'm trying to see. There we go. Yeah, it's just a shoe cover. So I have the base of it made, and then I have elastic that I use underneath it. So I got one here and one here to hold the actual shoe in place so it doesn't slide up. And then the elastic from this front end piece that moves from that to the back piece, so I can actually like bend my foot and articulate it so that it's not stiff, so I don't have that like duck waddle. So I've always made shoe covers. The only time I've actually had a full bottom for my shoe out of foam was when I did Robin from Teen Titans, the animated series, and he has these giant, clunky, clown-looking shoes, and I decided to go all out with it instead of doing, like, a realistic version. I made his actual shoes, and that was just EVA foam, like the standard thickness that you get at, like, Lowe's or, you know, Harbor Freight. I was that size, and I didn't seal the bottom, because what's going to happen when you're walking on it is it's just gonna start to peel the bottom off, scuff it up. And it'll end up any paint you put on it or any sealant is just going to strip off. I mean, if you're looking for a grip, you can just use a regular rattle can of Plasti-Dip, like black Plasti-Dip, and that'll give you like tread, and you know, like you can, so you won't slip if that's what you're looking for. If you're actually looking for like an actual pattern at the bottom, I mean, I would just flip the EVA over on the pattern side, and use that. But yeah, everything I've done prior to that and after that actually is just a shoe cover like mm-hmm. this.
Yeah, that's all I've ever done. There are lots of different options. Maddie Cat in the chat says there's sheets of rubber that you can use to cut your own treads, and then you could probably glue those to foam with something like goop, I think. I think that's the stuff that Evil Ted used on his shoes. We also have our friends over at Tested, Frank Ippolito and Norm, made some custom shoes from the movie, not shoes, but soles for shoes from the movie Kill Bill. There's a video for that. We'll link to that in the show notes. But they made a mold and cast theirs, so they could. Let me see. Okay, just going through the video real quick. I think they 3D printed or sculpted the masters, made a silicone mold, and then cast them in urethane rubber. I believe that's what they did. But if you want to if you want that level of accuracy and detail on your costume, then you could literally just make shoe soles the way they really make shoe soles, and then it'll be perfect. So there you go. We'll have a link to that, and hopefully we gave you a whole bunch of options, Sarah, so you can go make super cool and awesome shoes for your next costume. Thanks for the question. Jeremy has one. He is going to Ranger Stop in Orlando in November. Any chance you're going? You're going to be going to that one?
In which month was it? It was November, you said, right? A month?
Double checking right here. Ranger Stop is in... The webpage is loading. November 9 through 11.
I don't believe I will be able to make it to that, but if I can, I will put a post out on my Instagram that I will be attending. But as of right now, I don't think I can.
That is the week after BlizzCon. A little busy.
We'll see, though. I might be a little wiped from BlizzCon, but we'll see.
He also has a question about animatronics. He's asking potentially for an Iron Man costume. Any advice before I dive into Arduino and animatronics for cosplay? Any beginner tips for that sort of thing?
So there's actually a forum. It was on what's the name of that forum? What's the forum that everyone uses again? The
Replica
all that kind of...
Prop Forum?
It's a prop forum, yeah.
RPF?
That's it.
There RPF. We go.
So if you go to RPF, there was a actual Iron Man tutorial that I used when I was doing Farah for the actual coding and stuff like that and how to hook stuff up. That's a huge, huge start.
So if I was looking for that Iron Man animatronics, maybe?
Yeah, let me see. RPF Iron
Man. We will
Man.
Find this. We will find it.
We'll get
There's
it.
A lot. There are a lot of Iron Man posts on the RPF.
Yeah, if you go on the RPF forums and you I know I have the link for that somewhere.
But there's a post where someone went into a lot of that. We will find the link and provide it in the show notes.
Right.
For sure.
If I do find it, I know I have it somewhere. If I do find it, I'll definitely give you the link for that because that was a huge help. It actually walked you through it walked you through some of the diagrams for Arduino boards.
Oh, cool.
It even gave you the coding that they used for the helmet. So, you know, when you click your toggle switch, the helmet opens up, stays up. When you click it, it goes down. Now, my major in college was management informational systems, so I was a little familiar with basic coding. So that definitely helped me a lot, but that RPF forum will definitely get you started, and YouTube as well. There's a lot of good Arduino beginner tutorials on that.
I will say I've done a tiny bit myself, and I have an Arduino 1, just the normal Arduino board, and then I have a breadboard next to it. And that Arduino 1 doesn't end up in a costume. I just use that for prototyping, and the code and everything can be sent over to like a trinket, like one of the little guys for the actual prop. So, but I'll use that breadboard and the Arduino one, the bigger guy, so that my meat hands can have an easier time of dealing with it. Before everything is miniaturized and permanent in that. Although I don't do a lot of that. Normally I plug lights into an Arduino and then I ask my brother to code it, and then he makes the code.
Good to go. Yeah. The coding that I use for mine, I mean, I started off with that, with the Iron Man, code. And then I just kind of went and added in the different servos and tweaked it a little bit for the different speeds, the rotation of how far I want the servo to move. And all that. It sounds intimidating and complicated, but it's really not that bad. Once you start looking at all that, you know, the beginner tutorials and stuff, you'll get the hang of it pretty quickly.
All right, good luck, Jeremy, and thank you for your question. Moving on here, No Spaceship has a question. Any recommendations on a good truck or piece of luggage to pack your costume to fly with? Yeah, how do you get that thing from Florida to Southern California? That's what I want to know.
So let me pull this up now. I'll pull up the actual link for you.
All right.
And I'll link that to you. The Container Store actually sells these really handy bins that are pretty big. I have them. I'll lift one up just now and I'll show you. Let me find it real quick. They're pretty big. They're not heavy. And if I've never been charged for an overage fee at the airport. I just take them, and they hit me with the normal baggage fee for it. And they're very sturdy, and I've shipped Farah and Torellian multiple times from South Florida to California, back. I took it to New York, and they hold up really, really, really well.
So if I'm at the Container Store's website, what would I look for?
Go to, I don't remember the brand of it, but if you go to the Container section, it is, where are you?
They have a lot of containers in the
containers,
Container section.
Or is it, let me check the storage section. I think it might be a storage bin. That might be, up there it is. Okay, so if you go to storage,
yep,
and you click trunks, that first picture, that's what I have, the exact
trunks.
Same thing. So it's, so it's that one right there. The Iris Store It All trunk with wheels. That one right there.
Nice.
That's what I got. So,
that's awesome.
That has been my best way to travel. I've had zero problems in the airport with it. It's a little cumbersome, obviously, to move around with, but I've had zero problems with it. I will actually lift one up here and I'll show you. It's how, at least you can get a gauge of how big it is. This is,
oh my,
yeah, this is it here. So it's pretty big, and I've flown through multiple different airliners and have not been charged for any overage. It's pretty deep. You could fit a lot of stuff in there, actually. It takes, just for like a scale reference, it took two of those bins for me to fit all of Farah into it. Minus the chest piece. So what I do is I'll put everything I can in those bins, and anything that I can't fit, I'll actually take as a personal carry-on
mm-hmm.
item.
Yep.
And I've never been charged for any sort of overage, and it's the easiest thing that I found, because I had the same issue when I was trying to go to Anime Expo for my first con. I'm like, how am I going to bring this? You know, I tried going the shipping route, going with UPS, and they wanted to charge me like $1,200 to ship it. And I was like, yeah, not happening. So that's what I've done, and I've traveled them multiple times. I've had zero issues with it.
That's fantastic. There you go, No Spaceship. Go pick up one of those trunks. They look pretty great. I might have to get some. Next question is from someone named Justin. What kind of paint did you use for that Farah blue to be so metallic and beautiful?
So that I get a question on a lot. So the paint is it's an automotive paint. With a metallic flake mixed into it. So I get my metallic colors, I mix it in, and I use actually a car sprayer to spray the actual foam.
Like an HVLP spray gun?
Yep.
Is that a catalyzed finish?
It's actually the whole thing. I haven't really said anything on it yet, It's been like one of those small trade secret things, but the whole thing is actually Plastidip.
Oh, all right.
The whole thing, color and finish and everything, and clear coat.
So is that like, because I know you can buy basically clear Plastidip and then put your own. Is that what you did?
Yep.
Yeah. That's really cool. Actually, my friends Mario and Alice did the same thing for her Pharah costume.
Really?
Yeah.
It's honestly the best thing that I've used so far because, I mean, it's Plastidip, so if you wrinkle it, you know, you get wrinkles, you take a heat gun, it comes right out.
Yeah. The best resource, by the way, for Plastidip is dipyourcar.com.
Yep. That's what I used.
If you haven't been there, it's great. Like, they have an astonishing amount of both products and information, like how to dip your vehicle, how to dip your emblems if you want. But all of the same information applies if you'd want to Plastidip your costume. So yeah,
yep.
dipyourcar.com.
That's the one. They actually have their local here in Florida. They're based out of here, and their storefront's like 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I walked in one day, and I was like, hey, I know people use Plastidip. I mean, I use it to seal stuff. Everyone uses it to seal stuff. I'm like, hey, have you guys ever had anybody try this on costumes? And they're like, we have never had that. We've had cosplayers come in and get, you know, the regular rattle can blacks just to spray their sealer stuff. And I was like, all right, let me give it a shot. Went out there, got it, sprayed it, and it came out beautifully. You know, when you hit, when the light hits it, it changes colors. It's really, really cool. The one thing to note, though, is it is more harsh than rattle can Plastidip. It will work on foam, but if you have a thin piece of foam, it'll do that little like warp thing where it'll kind of bend it a little bit. I mean, you could take a heat gun to fix it, but insulation foam is a big no.
It'll melt it.
Oh yeah, tried that, melted it. It's very strong smelling too, so you definitely need a respirator. But it is pretty expensive to spray something like that. The pigments are not that bad. The paint could get a little expensive, and the sprayer is where you're spending most of your money. It's like 150 to 100 and, $80 bucks, depending.
But once you have it, you have a lot of options. Yep. So
exactly.
It's worth the investment. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. The question came to us from Justin. We got another one here. This is from Danielle. Who do you look up to the most when it comes to armor painting?
So that's a little plug from actually Danielle herself. Danielle honestly has been Danielle Ballou. That Danielle has been really an inspiration in a sense to see like how she paints her stuff. I mean, when I'm there, you know, with her when she's painting her armors and stuff, the way she does her highlights and her shadows to give it this really animated look, it really pops in pictures and that kind of stuff, and it just the way she does all that just flows and it just looks really good.
I've got her Ragnaros costume up right now, which I got to see in person at BlizzCon, and it's amazing. It's so cool.
Yeah, I sadly didn't get to. I actually didn't know her back then. I mean, I followed her on Instagram, but I never met her until SuperCon in Florida about almost a year ago at this point.
Very cool. Thanks for the question, Danielle. Let's move on to one from Purple Kool-Aid. Question one. I love making props, but at times I feel like it's taking big chunks out of things that actually matter, like school, social gatherings, family. Bah. What's your advice for when you feel this way? My advice is stop caring about being social when you have friends on the internet. Ha ha.
There you go.
It's not actual advice, by the way. You should make time for your real life friends.
So I know that with me, there was, I have a lot of other friends outside of cosplay, and a lot of them like, hey, you know, what are you doing tonight? You want to go out and do this? Want to go do that? And sometimes, you know, you have to set aside time for yourself to get this stuff done. You know, you gotta be. I would tell them, hey, you know, not tonight, but maybe next week. You know, and I'll give myself an allotted time frame to do a certain piece. So I would piece out, obviously, you know, large parts first, get them done, and then I'll go. You know, I would go out and do what I want to do. But it is difficult to try and manage all of that because it does. as you know, and as I know, and as a lot of everybody in the cosplay community knows, and prop making community, that this stuff takes a very long time.
Right.
So, yeah, it's hard to juggle them. But the other thing that I do is I just don't sleep sometimes. a lot of coffee. I see everybody in the daytime, and at night I just drink coffee and I'm up all night, you know, and then nobody bothers you and you get your stuff done.
I'm here to tell you that you can't maintain that forever.
Nope.
But while you can, woo!
Exactly.
I think one of the things, like, prop and costume making is obviously our entire life, but we have a full set of friends outside of prop and costume making who are local to Seattle, people we've known for the last 20 years. And we always make sure if a friend of ours, like a lot of our friends are having kids now, and if they have like a birthday party or some sort of gathering, we always make sure we go. We always make time for them. Like this whole costume thing is cool, but it's really pointless if I never see my friends, right?
Yep.
Like at some point, I'm just a lonely man in his cave building costumes and never seeing anybody. So yeah. I just make it a rule of mine. Whenever my friends locally are doing something, I make my best effort to get there.
Right. Because doing this all day, every day, it definitely takes a toll on you.
Yeah. And there will always be another prop to build. There will always be another costume to make. But my friends' kids are only going to be kids for a couple of years now. And then they're going to be annoying teenagers and I won't want to deal with them. So, like, now's a good time to go see them when they're tiny and cute.
Right.
We had another one here from Purple Kool-Aid. I'm making the Team Fortress 2 shotgun. I've actually made one of those. Something on the pump and the receiver bits for it. I'm making the majority of it out of MDF and PVC pipe. That's kind of what I made mine out of. Mine was just a... I just made it the pump handle spring-loaded. So if you pulled it down and then let go, it would fling back up to the top. It didn't click or anything. It didn't make any noises, but it would move a little bit. That's all I did. Yeah. Do you have any further advice on moving mechanical gun parts?
I think you would have a little bit more experience in that than I would, but I think, yeah, the whole spring mechanism would work well, like what you said you did. I know I used to play Airsoft a long time ago, and I know how all those guns work, and I know all the mechanisms and stuff. Sometimes even taking apart, you know, go to Walmart and get like a really cheap one, plastic see-through one, and
ooh, yeah.
You can see them. Yeah, you can even reuse those parts and see how they work, and you can reuse them if you actually want like a moving, you know, trigger and all that stuff like that. You can just do that and just have them take out the actual, pump and lock mechanism at the top that actually fires the BB, and just use the pulley for the trigger, so the trigger moves, and you got springs too, like what you said.
I've got I wrote a blog post for this build, but to be fair, it was in 2012, so it's a little dated. I will link to it. There's a really vague picture that kind of shows how I did it, so maybe that'll help you. Good luck. Thanks for the question. That one was from Purple Kool-Aid. Got another one here. This is from our pal Habiteer Workshop. And he wants to know when you, Justin, are going to let him print something for you. 3D printing, is that something you're interested in joining? The rest of us are having a good time over here.
So I actually have done just a little bit of 3D printing myself. I actually have, let me see if I could turn this here. This is actually, don't mind the mess, but my brother got a Rep Guru printer,
ooh.
3D printer. And it was a DIY one. He built it himself. I was fiddling with it. Nothing fancy. But I was fiddling with it and got it to work. And I printed some parts for Farrah, just like her finger armor and some little rocket piece that goes in her thigh. But actually, I actually had him print me a McCree flare gun for Lifeguard McCree last year for Dragon Con. But... since the skin had just came out right before Dragon Con, he did a great job getting it to me in time, like really quick. And I got it, and then after everything was going on. I couldn't get it done in time, and I haven't really revisited him to do like an actual shoot for yet, but I do have it. It's assembled. I just need to gather all the pieces, the rest of the costume, and get a shoot. But yes, he actually has printed something for me before in the past.
All right, cool. we have some. Let me try to think. Oh no, I have a couple of 3D printing projects coming out soon too. So stay tuned for those. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm going to be that guy, but there will be videos.
You could spill a little bit, right?
I have one in particular that I'm keeping tight to the chest because it's not done yet, and I don't want to say anything until it's done. Otherwise, it's all I'll hear about for the next 6 months.
Right. Okay.
Thank you, Habiteer
That's fair.
Workshop. Thanks for hanging out as well. Nick is curious about some painting. Can you use a rattle can lacquer under all clad metal paints? Also, do you buy your all clad paints online? Rattle can lacquer. Have you ever done anything with all clad paints?
I have not.
Oh, they're so good. They're
Are
so
they?
good. Yeah, I'll field this one. So, the all clads are a lacquer, and I've used rattle can black. Just like right from the hardware store, like a gloss black, and that seems to work just fine. The paints won't disagree with one another, let's say. The challenge is getting a perfect glossy black finish, and that the quality of the paint coming out may vary based on what brand of rattle can lacquer you get. The best thing you can do is take that can and put it in warm water for about 10 minutes to sort of warm it up a bit so you get a finer mist. And that should help you. But yeah, you should be able to use that no problem, like as a black base coat to then airbrush your all clad chrome paints on top of. I buy my all clads locally. They don't really have like an online store. I found my Hobbytown USA near me has started carrying them, although they don't cycle out the colors very quickly. So I like the polished aluminum, but they don't have it in stock and they haven't had it in stock for a couple of months. I could probably ask them to order it for me if I really needed it. But there's also a local small non-franchise hobby store here called Skyway Model. And they have all clad paints as well. So I buy mine locally, but I live near Seattle, so there's a couple of options. And that is everything I know about all clad.
I'm definitely gonna have to give that a try.
Yeah, at the
Paint
very
stuff.
least, it's worth seeing if you have a small model shop near you that might
Right.
carry all clad paints, and then you go there and see what else they have, because it's model painters know all the tricks.
Right.
Thank you, Nick. And I hope you have fun with your all clad paints. Hey Patch, not only is Hey Patch here, but he's got some questions for us. He is curious about scaling a Pepakura model so that it fits you properly. I am also curious about this. Please let us know how you
I
do that.
okay, so I will try to explain in the best of my abilities without getting a little bit too complicated. So there is one thing that is a tool that I haven't used personally yet, but somebody told me. It's called Armor Smith.
Oh yeah, Randy does that, and we've had him on the show before. Go on.
Yep. So there's that. You can use that, and apparently you can actually put your own measurements in there, and it gives you an actual like human scale, and you could put your Pepakura files in there and scale it up, apparently. I haven't used it myself yet. What I do is I just do the good old-fashioned measure a bunch of body parts on me and go in Pepakura Designer, and there's an actual feature in there where you can actually do, measure a distance from point, and you go from one point to the next. So for instance, for Pharaoh, when I model, I mean, I like, scaled it to me. Besides, after I did all the 3D modeling I had to do to adjust the size and scale,
And
of the
that's
different
in
piece
Blender, right?
in Blender,
Okay.
right. And Blender is open source free. Free animation software. I've just been used to it. That's all I've used my whole life. So I mean, that's what I use. That and actually Autodesk Maya, but Maya is not free.
No, and it's also a little unwieldy.
Yes, it is. So what I would after I finish doing the adjustments in Blender, The scaling aspect in Pepper Curry, you do like the measured distance from one point to the next. And so I will do usually from shoulder to shoulder on me so that I know that the chest piece, at least, from shoulder to shoulder matches. So I'll do my measurements and then I'll go on a Pepper Curry designer and I'll check those measurements and I'll just keep scaling up until it hits that measurement. And then I will measure now from the top of the shoulder to the bottom of the torso piece. And see if it lines up with me, and then I'll make adjustments in Blender accordingly. But if you just get like a raw Pepper Curry file from somebody and you want to scale it up, you want to take the base measurements like from your, wrist to your elbow if you have like a bracer, and get that measurement. Go into Pepper Curry Designer, measure one point to the next. It'll give you a rough estimate, and then just keep scaling up or scaling down. Till you get that. Now,
That's
if you
cool.
want, yeah, so that's what I do with that. But if you want to get like a full scale, like so for Farah, like it would be kind of awkward if you scaled the chest right, and you scale the different parts right, because everybody's body measurements are different, right? So if you want to keep the scaling of a costume like that right, without having a piece too small or too big, I generally scale it all the same size. So I'll make sure that the main part, like the torso, is scaled correctly, and then the rest of it, I'll just scale it to the same size. And once I make it, if I have to trim a little bit off to make it shorter, or I never have to add because I usually go a little bit bigger. So I'll usually trim off. That way, you keep the same scale and everything's the right scale and it looks proper. Because if you have one piece that's too large and you scale down another piece, it might look a little funky. So
So you're counting on your ability to edit the pattern once you've gone to foam, then.
right.
Yeah, and
Once
if
it's
you
at
make it a
foam.
little too big, it's a lot easier to take material off.
Right,
Yeah.
right. But the main base scaling, you always want to scale your important part first, like a torso piece. If you have something like that, you want to scale the torso piece because that's like your main focal point, You want that to be scaled proper, and then the rest of it you can keep the same scale and add and remove if you need, without taking too much of the actual size scaling down or up.
Hey Patch is also curious about scaling large 3D print files. It's, I imagine, very similar. What I like doing, there's actually, let me see if I can find this. There's a they moved their website. There's a app called, a free app, by the way, called Make Human. And basically you put in measurements from your body and it will make a generic human form 3D model. And then you could dump that into Blender, and then you could put your 3D files into Blender along with your body and then scale them to fit. And then ideally, when you go to 3D print them, they'll be the right size.
I did not think of that. That's actually really cool. I could probably use that for Pepper Curry as well.
It's kind of like what Randy's done with Armored Garage, kind of combining that make human thing with Peppercore Designer so that you can match those things together. We've done that for 3D prints, like helmets and stuff. So when I did, it's over there, but when I did my Tank Trooper helmet, I put a three. Actually, I have a 3D scan of my body, but it's similar to like what you would get from Make Human, which they have a new website that I will link in the show notes. So I just scaled the helmet until it fit on the 3D scan of my body, and then I knew when it printed it would work. Unless it's off by a factor of 10. Some 3D modeling programs, when you go from one to the other, it'll be they bump the decimal point by one. So if your helmet's
Okay.
only that big, then just multiply it by 10 and you're good to
Right.
go. And then he's curious about dividing it up. There's a lot of different ways to cut a model up, but Brittany went over, I believe, and she'll correct me if I'm wrong. She went into that with her Samus helmet build. One of the tools you can use is Mesh Mixer, and they have a tool for slicing things up that should work pretty well. And that would be in the Samus Helmet video. Thank you, Hey Patch. Thanks for hanging out too. I see you in the chat. And we've got one more question. This is from Austin, who is curious what your favorite costume is that you've created. His was Link. Well,
So,
I guess that Austin made a Link costume. What
Awesome
is?
had a Link
Yeah.
costume. Okay, so honestly, I believe the one standing behind me is my favorite. Only because it's one of those things where I was trying to push myself to see how far I can go with certain things. You know, like I want to learn new things. I taught myself a little bit of Arduino, a little bit of mechanics in it. It's also a large scale build. I was trying to just learn as much as I could in one build. So that I would have to say is my favorite one.
Yeah.
So
I think mine is still the Draugrs from Skyrim, because I made it with my wife. We each contributed a lot on both of those costumes, and I've never worn a costume where I got that good a reaction. Even people who don't play Skyrim would still freak out when a glowing skull creature would menace them at a convention. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah. Although I will say I like my old man Logan costume a lot, because all I had to do was wear a suit and some claws. There's something to be said about comfortable costumes. I'm just saying.
I want that, you know, that one comfortable one to wear, because walking around in clunky armor all day is it's not fun after, you know, an hour or so, especially in Florida.
Oh, my.
When it's 90-something degrees out and you're in full armor. Yeah, that's not fun. So...
Well, that is the end of our questions. Thank you, everyone, so much for submitting your questions. You guys are awesome. You guys always bring such good, good questions. And thank you, Justin, for hanging out with us for the last hour.
No, no problem. Thanks for having me again.
You betcha. We'll link to everything that Justin's doing on the internet. But you can start by heading over to his store, Envy, justcosplay.storeenvy.com, where you can get some really cool-looking prints or some Pepakura files if you want to do Tourellian or Farah. If you want to get a good place to start, you can head on over there and grab those. I guess that's about it.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us for the last hour. You guys are awesome. We'll do this again in a couple of weeks. And until then, keep making stuff. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Woo! Good job, everybody!